Welcome, everyone, to Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Crystal Melville. And today we are continuing with the Love Series. And our topic today, the topic of choice that is so timely yet so timeless, is a mother's love. Now, I'm sure many of you, or any person at the sound of my voice right now, your mind just went back to your childhood, just the thought of your mother. She may be in your presence right now, she may be far away, or she may have passed on and gone on to glory. But nevertheless, a mother's love, just the thought of that always warms our hearts. And rightfully so. So, for the purpose of understanding what a mother's love is, what its purpose, how we should embrace it, we're going to define what a mother is. We're going to understand who a mother is. We're going to understand and discuss what we should know about a mother, and just the ramifications of the onset of motherhood. What does it mean? So, without further ado, we will define what a mother is. And this definition is very relative, okay? It's not set in stone, but it's still valuable. It still makes sense. And I'm going to do it in different ways. I'm going to do it in different tenses, in different forms to help us all understand what a mother is. So a mother is typically a woman. It's a feminine force. It's a feminine attribute and an actual physical likeness of a female. It's a woman. Okay, that's what we know it to be. We also know that a man can nurture a child. A man can protect and teach a child as well. And those are motherly attributes. But for the purpose of this podcast and this teaching, we're going to focus on the feminine aspect. So a mother is a woman in relation to her child. It can be direct and indirect. Direct meaning having a direct relation to a child means that this is a child that you birthed. This is your offspring. An indirect relation for a mother means that she has adopted a child. She didn't birth the child, but yet she is that child's mother. She's raising this child. And also this term, indirect term, can be attributed to a caregiver, such as a nanny, a babysitter, or a daycare personnel. And to elaborate more on caregivers, before we go further, let's start from when a child is born. When a child is born and the umbilical cord is cut, right then and there, it opens up a new dimension for this child. This child is no longer encapsulated in the mother's womb. It's no longer protected in this warm, serene surrounding. It's out. It's on its own. So the aura and the relationship of the child to its mother, it's very important when this happens. Okay, so it's extremely important that this child knows who the mother is, or unfortunately, for certain situations, who the caregiver is. The child needs to know that it will be protected, that it will be nurtured, and feel that sense of love. So when a woman brings forth her child, she is the one that is responsible mainly for the nurturing, for that protection, for the warmth, you know, and the actual nourishment of the child. You know, the mother is the one that breastfeeds her child. You know, she is that. I mean, it's a reason why women can produce milk. It's a reason why that the hormone is released from the brain, which is prolactin, and it produces milk. And the milk is further, you get the letdown response, and the milk is further distributed because the child is suckling. If the child ceases to suckle, then the milk will stop. Okay, so we are fearfully and wonderfully made, guys. God designed our bodies to do exactly what it's supposed to do. And he gave us, likewise, the hormones and all of the ability to feel and have these emotions to care for our child. But it's important that these emotions are channeled in the correct way and for the correct purpose. So a mother is a woman in direct relation to her child. Okay, and, you know, actually, motherhood is a verb. It's an action word. It's one who gives birth to a child to watch over, nourish, and protect maternally. Okay, this means every woman has the capacity to be a mother, whether they have children or not. So, like I said earlier, some children are born into certain situations where the actual birth mother could not fulfill her duties. In certain situations, sadly, the mother may have died during childbirth, or she had to, under duress or whatever reason, give up her child for adoption, or she just couldn't raise the child for whatever reason. So another woman would step in the form of a nanny, a caregiver, babysitter, and the like. So once this woman steps in, she knows that it's her responsibility to nourish this child. You know, in biblical times, they were maidservants. They were women who, and they were wet nurses who would even breastfeed another woman's child. Sometimes a woman may have difficulty, and that's common today as well, producing milk for whatever reason. It could be, you know, lack of education, but mainly it was some hormonal issue. So they were wet nurses who would breastfeed and nourish children. And they were also nannies and maidservants who helped raising children. So the child was never without love. The child was never without nourishment and protection and care. So, you know, we see here how vital this village is for a child, you know, and when we look at the world where it is now, we see so many children are neglected, you know, and that's why you have so many cases of them failing to thrive. We see more and more occurrences of abnormalities and social engagement, you know, and it all has to do with those critical moments after birth. You know, it's very important that a woman understands her role as a mother. And that is why I'm doing this specific podcast on a mother's love. So we need to understand what a mother is, her role, her function, and the importance of this role. It goes without saying how much a mother's impact is on a child's life. So as we discussed earlier about the, you know, the cutting of the umbilical cord and the physical, you know, detachment from a child, you know, at that time, that attachment is severed. And that's when, you know, that phase of your motherhood ends. And now you get into the emotional and the psychological phase, which begins. So now you have to, you know, have this emotional attachment to your child. It means you have to care for it. You have to love it. You have to protect it. You have to give it everything that you have, you know, and your body was made for that. So whenever there's a disruption And that usually comes from the environment. Is this woman loved herself? You know, is she nurtured? Is she cared for by her husband or her mate? You know, her family? All these things come into play. And let's not ignore this. You know, and I think as women, even though many of us have grown up in environments that weren't conducive to motherhood, I think, you know, there's never a time when we can take a stand. There's never a time when we shouldn't address these issues. It's never too late to confront these issues in your family. You know, stir up discussions, you know, talk to your own mother about your childhood, how you felt as you grew older, what you saw, what you see her doing, you know, but do so lovingly and with full respect because she is still your mother, you know. But it's important to bring up these topics because it will help you where you are to be a better mother and to teach your daughter how to be a wonderful mother. To embrace all of her capabilities, her natural endowments from God, as well as what she soaks in the environment, what she should release, what she should filter out, and what she should embrace. It's important. So we have to face these concerns, things that we saw growing up. Don't brush them under the rug and say, oh, my mom can do better. Maybe she couldn't. Okay. Maybe she couldn't. But it's still okay to address it and say, mom, you know, I saw how you toiled, how you labor, how it's so hard for you, but yet you still put food on the table. Maybe I didn't get everything I needed. I needed that. You need to say that. You need to say that for you. Okay, and, you know, maybe she never thought of it. Maybe she didn't have the chance to think of it. Maybe she did. Maybe that's why she's so sad. Maybe that's why she's so regretful or, you know, mad at herself because she thinks she's a bad mother. So when a child is able to understand, even an older adult child, you need to say that. People need to know that you see them. It could be a negative situation too. It could be this mother was so abusive. And you have to again realize that that's what she was taught. That's how her environment was for her. You know, a person can't give you what they don't have. So it's important to address it. You have to tell her how she may have hurt you. She may have neglected you. You know, unknowing to her, she was doing these things. Maybe she was aware. And you still need to tell her. It's important because mothers set their children up for success in life. And when I say success, I mean a good, optimal mental health, okay, emotional health, physiological, physical health. Women should teach their daughters about their cycle, the time of the month, how to deal and cope with pain, what natural herbs to take to help them function. Because sometimes ladies, this PMS gets really bad. It can really affect your relationships. You know, so there's so many ways that we can take a stand now. You know, and when, you know, ultimately, when we discuss these issues more, these are the roots to many social problems and issues that we have right now with the talk about abortion and pro-life and all these things. When a woman sits down with her children and teaches them about life, you know, aka the birds and the bees, you know, we talk about the physical stuff, you know, the menstrual flow, the cramping, the emotions. But what about the psychological ones? How do you carry yourself among men? You know, how do you protect your body? How do you speak to men, the opposite sex? You know, and this type of conversation is about self-worth, self-esteem. You know, how do you cover yourself? How do you not engage in certain type of conversation that leads to a sexual encounter? All of these things are so crucial. Because when a young woman understands her self-worth, she will protect herself as best she could. She will report anything funny or anything that doesn't align with her worldview and the view of herself and how she communicates with God. she needs to know that at a very young age, because this will prevent unwanted pregnancies, which will prevent abortions. So if these things are handled, there wouldn't be any need for pro-life marches, because the young woman would be pro-life, the kind of life that she is supposed to have. Okay, so, and you know, guys, if we can sum it up, this is the problem of evil in the world, okay? Let's just sum it up. This is the big umbrella, and it has evil all over it. Because evil does not dictate healing. It does not dictate education, proper communication. It doesn't dictate love, understanding, empathy, patience, all of those things. So the opposite of that is love. Okay, universal love. It doesn't matter where this woman lives. It doesn't matter what country she was born in. She is still a woman. She is still a mother, to be a mother. Okay, and she needs the same teaching, the same affection, the same empathy, the same amount of patience. And that, and when you have, you know, and there's some places women aren't regarded at all. They're not loved. They're not understood. They're not given the options to choose to be near their family for that continuous support. In some countries, women are shoved off when they get married, and they're asked to forget about their family that bred them, that nurtured them, that cared for them, that's willing to continue to support them. So we have to take a stand against these things. We have to speak up against these things. You know, it's so important that women rise up, but in a healthy way, in a practical way. You know, we have to know, we should know what we're fighting for. We should know what we're revolting against, you know. And I think a lot of the times we choose to revolt against something without understanding it. We need to understand the origin of it. And we also, when we're done marching and revolting and resisting, we need to understand that the best remedy for all of these issues are the ones that we can bring about within our family, within the home, within ourselves. You know, we need to sit face to face with our daughters and talk to them as women. Let them know what life really is about. Tell them your story, no matter how painful it is. Tell them, you know, admit that you may have been raped in different ways. You may have been abused. You may have been misused, you know. Talk to your daughters. Talk to your sons too, because they will marry a woman one day. They will take a wife. Talk to them. You know, the secrecy, it's hurting. It's hurting the younger generation. It's hurting the past, because many are going to their graves with secrets. And this is where all these type of illnesses derive from, because of stress and pain and suffering. You know, cancers are taking people down by the droves. You know, where are these diseases coming from internally, these bad cells? These bad cells thrive in environments where people don't take care of their bodies, or their bodies are just weakened and overloaded by stress and, you know, the wrong types of environment, bad drinking water, you know, bad toxins, you know, where people aren't responsible. They just put cheap stuff in a building, or they use cheap ingredients and products that we consume, and they spray the food with bad stuff. So what happens? We ingest it. You know, so it's a domino effect. It's a domino effect, and we're suffering because of it. You know, so the more, you know, if each person at least one person in every home can take a stand, do you know how much better your environment would be, your home life at that? Because, you know, maybe, okay, some of you may be saying, well, you know, the world is what it is. We can't change it. I mean, you can change you. You can make that impact right in your home. You don't even have to go outside and march. It can start in your home. You can protect your family's legacy for generations to come. people will be looking at you and say, wow, why are they prospering and we're suffering? Because you're doing the right thing, because you're being obedient. You know, so the role of a mother is so powerful. She can build or break down a nation. Her words are so powerful because a mother is the first teacher of the child. Every male leader had a mother. Even Christ our Lord had a mother. You know, God did that for a reason. He chose the purest young Virgin Mary. But she was a mother to him. People forget that. You know, he suckled on her. Her and her husband Joseph reared him up and taught him. You know, and he, at the right age, he knew who he was and he was who he was. And each and every one of us can learn a lesson from that book. You know, so babies need a lot of love. And this takes a lot of work. You know, so now in our modern world today, you have so many women, we're entrepreneurs, we're bosses, CEOs, so, and many do still work a 9-to-5 and maybe beyond those hours. So how do we make it all work? I know for me personally, I'm a retired nurse now, but I worked every shift there was, the graveyard shift, the morning, the evening, I went to school, and I had my children raising. And that was like the most stressful time in my entire life. You know, I mean, school in itself is a lot. You imagine raising children through it and have a family. So how do we do it? We do it because we have to, but it doesn't mean we should, you know, and again, you know, based on what we were discussing earlier, if we do everything from an early age in the right ways and we respect and value our self-worth, we will know, okay, some things has to wait and the other thing is more important. That's setting the right priorities. So if we know now that having children and working outside of the home and going to school is stressful, then that's not the right thing. That's not the right path. But we do it because we have to, because there were things that we didn't do right, correct? So what do we tell our children? You know, many times our children look at us, oh, my mom can do it. She did it all. I can do it too. Yeah, maybe you can, but it doesn't mean you should do it like that. You know, so it goes without saying, you know, we need to instill the right type of thoughts and thinking into our children at a very young age. Some things have a more precedence. Some things are more important than others. So not because I worked, went to school and took care of you, it doesn't mean that that's what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, it was hard. It was hard in my mind, physically, emotionally, you know, and children are in that process neglected in some ways, in some ways quite a bit, and they're left to fend for themselves. You have latchkey kids. You have children who are undernourished, undereducated. They're bullied because that they don't have the watchful eye of their mother. They don't. You know, they don't have that parent who is always watching and uses that intuitiveness to notice, well, something is wrong. Let me follow up. That's what's going on. There aren't any watchful eyes. The mother's role is diminishing by the day. You know, and because many women are tired. You know, why do you think heart disease is the number one leading cause of death in women? Why do you think many women have heart attacks? Because they are overworked, they are stressed, they are unloved, misunderstood, abused, misused. So when we treat women like this, now we know why our nation and the world is in the way it is. The mistreatment of women, you know. So that's why we have to discuss these things. We have to understand our roles. We have to really put it, everything into perspective. So we discuss what a mother is, who she is, the role, the responsibilities, what happens after birth, why it's so important that this type of behavior and relationship is so necessary. So what should this relationship look like? Well, research shows that without that motherly attachment, children actually don't know how to adapt to stress. Okay, so that is why you see there's a lot of children who are anxious. And many children are being labeled with so many different forms of mental illness now. They have social anxiety, separation anxiety. Sometimes we do too much. Sometimes we want to overprotect our children. And sometimes we don't protect them enough. So we definitely need a balance there. Okay? And, you know, for some of you who have in-laws, some of you live with your in-laws, and sometimes that, you know, that other generation, you know, they can be helpful and they can be a real curse, you know. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Sometimes that old school mentality that, you know, can be really aggressive and, you know, lack empathy, it could have an impact on the way you mother your child. So that's why we need to have some balance. Some things you can take from your mom, some things you have to really own. You know, you have to become the mother that you're supposed to be. And, you know, and respectfully let your mom know, you know, mom, I appreciate the way you raised me, but some things weren't perfect, so we need to work on that. So I want to interject to my child, you know, the way that I see it and the way that I would like them to be raised. You have to let your mother know, hey, I love you, but this is my child. And this is how, you know, I perceived motherhood, the way you raised me. But I really want to learn from God about how He wants me to mother my children. God has to be at the center of it all, not what your mother says, what society says, what the books say, you know? So let's be clear on that. The Bible really has firm advice for mothers and the way we should behave, you know, and the benefits of our children taking in what we teach them. Okay, so, you know, there are what we should know about motherhood is that it's evidence of God's mercy. Yes, isn't your mother the most merciful person that you know? I mean, there's so many things that mothers endure. They endure their children getting in trouble, being disobedient, you know, going on the wrong side of the tracks. Mothers endure children who sadly have gone to prison, who sadly have died, who, you know, mothers have endured betrayal. Mothers endure so much. You know, God is a merciful God. He forgives. He doesn't forget. But the Bible does say that your sins are lost in a sea of forgetfulness. And that is credited to the penitent man who truly is sorry. Mothers do forgive you. You know, your mind wouldn't let you forget, but she wouldn't remember all the pain and suffering because her love is so strong and powerful. She just comes right back to it. You know, a mother's love is an echo to the glory of God. You know, she is so endearing. She hopes, she dreams, she perseveres. Her love never fails. A mother is a woman on a mission. Listen, we must be mission oriented. You have to fight for something in life. You have to stand for something or we'll fall for anything. I'm sure you've heard that before. So mothers are mission oriented, you know? She's on a mission to protect, defend, and serve. She's your first policeman. She's your first teacher. She's everything. Motherhood stands from a towering source of strength in the face of fear. Oh, yes. Mothers are fearless. Something comes over you, and no matter what you're up against, you will go head to head with it for your child. Because it's your divine right to protect your offspring. And something, it's almost unexplainable that comes over you. You don't care who it is. You will die for your child. You will take a bullet. You will make sure that your child lives on. Because that's how much you value life. So mothers are always pro-life. As they should be. And that's when you understand what being a mother means. You will always be pro-life. Okay, and motherhood also reminds us of the need for grace. Yes, where sin abounds, grace does. So whenever we see so many forms of evil in the world, your mother will always be the one to give you such a more positive outlook on the world. You know, she should. If she doesn't, well, you know, there's some cracks there. But your mother should always remind you that God's grace is sufficient. And no matter what you're going through in life, you can get out of it. You can recover. You can and will overcome. So she's always that echo to God's grace. Motherhood is about Christ. A mother. God told Adam and Eve to fill the earth with image bearers of the one true God. So a mother is about being a mother. It's being about Christ. You should be about his business and nothing else. So that is why we must grow up. We must cut all the shenanigans out. Want to be the world's best mom. We want to outdo the next mom. We want to bake more cupcakes, sell more Girl Scout cookies. Wear the best makeup, dress the best. It's not about that. All these things go away. One day the oven will stop baking. The makeup won't cover the sags and the wrinkles. But what you teach your children will live on in them and your grandchildren and their children and their children after that. Okay? Being a mother that's a power position. It's very powerful. And the role shouldn't be taken lightly. I know as young women, as little girls even, you know, you dream about your fairy tale wedding and you're going to have love, beautiful babies with your Prince Charming and you're going to get a pram. Oh, in America, we call it a baby stroller. And you can have this beautiful nursery and it's decorated lovely. And you're getting to stay in your rocking chair and nurse your baby and read stories and sing. That is the most beautiful thought. And it's not that you can't have it, but you have to work for it. Yes, you have to work for it. You have to become that woman that exudes a life worthy of that dream. You have to be your own reality. You have to set the tone of how men respond to you, communicate with you, and treat you. You know, many women want to be a princess. They want that life, but you have to act like one. You know, you have to act like a woman worthy of being a wife. You know, and then you will hopefully mate with someone who is worthy of being a king. So you can live that life together. You will have restraint in your spending. You will prioritize the things you need to do. You will use wisdom in the people that should be around you, that should support you and know your inner thoughts and your actions. There's so many things that we need to consider here. So that's why, you know, we have to snap out of the bubble, but and walk in it. You know, let's just put away this whole bubble theory and fairy tale life theory and just walk, just live the life. Just be that woman. Be that mother. Be that woman that is so strong and so worthy of that title. I know today, and I won't stay on this topic too long, but so many women yearn to be mothers, and there's so much modern technology to help them. But I just think a lot of the times, if we have enough patience and faith and trust in God, that He will show up. He will do what He said He will do. And oftentimes we grow impatient and we want to fulfill this role so bad because we want to give our husband a child. We're afraid he wouldn't love us anymore. He might go out there and have a child with another woman who is fertile. You know, it's so many things that go through a woman's mind, you know, and that's when she's, of course, most insecure because other women are watching or the world is watching. She has to stay beautiful. She has to stay on trend. Wow. You know, it's really something to watch. And mind you, young girls are watching. Everybody wants to have a plump lip, a plump behind, firm breasts. But that's not where your beauty is. Your beauty is in your character. Your beauty is in your character. You know, the simplicity of life. The timeless beauty. The one that smiles at any and every storm and knows that if God is with her, she will not fall. That's the beauty of a womanhood. That's the beauty of motherhood. That no matter what storm rises up against your home, as long as you know, as a mother, if God is with you, you will not fall. So guys, that was a lot today. That was a lot that we covered, that we talked about. There's so much more we could have mentioned, but I wanted you to know that for me personally, being a mother is my greatest role in life. I've been blessed to be a nurse, a businesswoman, a public servant. I worked in the private and public sectors of government and administration. I did the whole, you know, I was a banker. I did all that. I did so many things. You know, as a nurse, it was so beautiful because it was the closest role to me. As being a mother, I was able to watch babies be born. Sadly, I was able to watch babies take their last breath and older people. And, you know, I was able to empathize with others. I was able to enter their thoughts, their pain, their suffering. And that taught me so much. It taught me so much about my own life. In how to value the people around me and value my role as a mother. You know, it made me a better teacher, a better listener, a better coach. It made me a better counselor. So I don't take this role lightly. I really don't, and you shouldn't either. A mother's love is endless. A mother's love is rich. It always gives, and a mother's love never fails. And that is what I wanted to leave with you today. So no matter what you are going through, know that God loves you. He gave us Adam and Eve, male and female created He them. He created both feminine and masculine attributes. But it was all in love. All in love. So that means that we have that love. If only we would believe that. If only we would understand that. We would do better. We would speak better. We would do better. And our children would see that. And they would do the same thing. So I want to encourage you, stand in love. Stand in love. Stand in the love knowing that as a mother, that's your greatest attribute. You may not have all the money in the world, the fancy house, car, all the things that you desire. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you have love, you can acquire anything. You just have to be willing to do the work. Let the love help you to grow. Let the love build you up. Let the love strengthen you. Let love give to you. Accept it. Embrace it. And when you do that, everything that's not good will have no other reason, no other choice but to fall. That's right. You have what it takes to love. You're worthy of love. And you can give love, but you have to have it. You cannot give what you do not have. So receive at the sound of my voice, receive God's love today. Just receive it. Just say yes. Say yes, Lord. I thank you for loving me. Past my pain, past my insecurities, past my hurts, my desires. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your love. Let your love abide in me now and forever and ever. Amen. So if you said that prayer today, know that God's love will yield you everything that you desire in your life. Just have patience. Just let him do it. And right now, something wonderful is happening in your life. You now see life differently. And once you see it differently, you will act differently. You will have more patience. You won't be angry. You won't be hasty. You know, you will have more wisdom to handle situations better. Your senses will arouse. You will see things before they occur. God will give you that discernment to know what you deserve and to resist and reject evil of every kind and in anyone. I don't care who it is. It could be the person you're living with, the children you're raising. You have to reject evil. I don't care who it is. You have to take a stand in your home. You will not have coming in late past your curfew, abusing funds, abusing time, abusing all the gifts that you give. Your children should do their homework when they come home, not be on video games all day or at all, especially if they're not deserving, especially if they don't have good grades and they don't help out around the house. There will be no more of that. You deserve a husband that loves you. If he's too busy working all the time, you need to reel him in and say, listen, we have to change some things. You have to work less hours. We need to rearrange our finances. Do whatever it takes to save your marriage. You're worthy of his love, his attention. You don't want to be tempted to go outside and fall in love with somebody else. That may or may not be good for you. You don't want to break your family up. So you're going to fight for your marriage. You're going to say to your husband, I am worthy of love and so are you. We need each other. We need this time. We need to give back to one another. The money does some things, but not everything. Money can't soothe my aching heart, my lonely heart. Don't be afraid to say these things. A mother protects her home, protects her marriage. You need the husband to raise your children. Even though we raise children by ourselves, that doesn't mean we're supposed to. So stand up and fight. Fight for your role as mothers. Fight for your role as wives. Fight for your role as teachers, educators, nurses, doctors, counselors, lawmakers, whatever your role is. Fight for it. but do it in the right way. Stand up. Stand in love. So guys, that was so much. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening in. I pray that the words that were spoken today, I pray that they resonated with you. Please share this podcast. Share it with as many people. And I think the whole world needs to hear something like this. I really do. Not because I spoke it. These words weren't mine. These words came from a place. These words came from God Himself. I'm here for you. I'm also a parent coach. I coach women. I consult them. I do everything. I'm here for you. I would like you to also visit my website, www.crystalemelville.com. On there, I have a host of encouraging posts. I teach on various issues. It's all free. You don't have to buy anything. You can subscribe so you don't miss anyone. I think it's inviting. I have in my bio a little bit about my background. I grew up in foster care, but I overcame all those insecurities, and I'm here. So I want you to know a bit more about me, where I went to school, things I've done in my life. Let's get to know one another. Let's build relationships. I'm not here to shove any of my ideals or worldviews down your throat. I'm here to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. I'm here to help. I'm here to help make the world better. I'm here to teach. That's what God commanded His people to do. Go in and teach all nations. And that's what I'm doing. So, you get to see what I'm up to. I do have a parent support guide there as well in my shop. It prepares you for coaching. It helps you to identify things that you need to ask yourself, ask your children. You can share it with other moms in your mom groups. You know, there's a host of nuggets there. I also have a link to this podcast there. You can also catch this podcast on iTunes. I will also leave a link to this podcast on all my social media sites. I am also known as the Higher Self Coach on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. So I'm all out there and I'm happy to be out there. So thank you guys so much for allowing me to come into your homes, wherever you are. And I hope that wherever you are, that you know that you are loved. And that love will take you places that you never dreamed of. Love will help you to keep on rising higher and higher and higher. So I will see you next time on my next podcast topic, where we will be discussing a child's love. So now you're going to get the perspective of a child and how they love. So thank you so much for joining us on Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Crystal Melville, and I'll see you next time. Bye now.